In the preaching this morning, we're going to consider the fourth commandment of God's law. And that fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. In connection with that fourth commandment, we're going to read this morning out of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin reading this morning at verse 19 of Hebrews 10 and read through the end of the chapter. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despot unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Thus far we read God's word. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture and many others that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 38. You can find that in page 22 in the back of your Psalter. And as I said, this is the Catechism's explanation of the fourth commandment. That's what we consider this morning. And that is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I will not read the entirety of that command. But the Catechism asks then, what doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Let's pray and ask God's blessing in the preaching. Our Father in heaven, we come to worship especially that we might hear the word. We know our need for the word. We desperately need it. We need rest. We need calm that comes only from hearing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that on this day, thou wilt encourage us to keep this day holy by hearing the fourth commandment of thy law and a sermon that is based on it, so that this pattern of our lives may continue even in the midst of so many things that are changing. So bless this word, give us the ability to listen attentively, and keep us free from distraction, and bless thy servant as he brings it as well in a very different manner and way, as there are very few people here. Uphold and strengthen him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose in some ways we're getting used to a new normal. That's a term that's often used when things are changing, and they change, and then you have to get used to a new pattern in life. So much of daily pattern has changed that, I don't know about for you, but for me, it can be difficult to even know what day it is sometimes. Because Monday is not a lot of different than Tuesday, and Tuesday is not a lot different than Wednesday, because there's not catechism on Monday night, and for you school kids, there's not going to school on Monday and Tuesday through Friday. You're doing some school work at home, but in some ways, almost every day might seem like a Saturday. And so there's confusion, what day is it? The pattern of our lives has been disrupted. That happens for people sometimes when they're in the hospital. One day is just like another, or maybe life at sunset is that way as well in some ways. And now we're all experiencing that to a certain degree. But we can be thankful that this one pattern doesn't change. There are 6 days and then there's one. There's that one day that is set aside for worship. And even though everything else is disrupted, we still have the Lord's Day, and the Lord comes to us on this day and commands us in the fourth commandment to keep this day holy. There is for us an urgency in keeping this day. It's not anymore just, if it even was for us, but it certainly can't be anymore just a legalistic doing what we have to do. Because now no one really sees what we're doing on the Lord's Day. In a certain way, the elders don't know who's live streaming right now. And if there were some not live streaming and not keeping this day holy in that way, some, most in the church, wouldn't even know. But yet there's still an urgency. There's an urgency for us, so that I trust the congregation is tuning in and they're listening and they're watching where they are able, because they know the great need that they have to hear the Word of God. There's all the noise in the world in which we live. There's fear and there's panic, and we hear the news stories and we read the news stories and all kinds of views about coronavirus and predictions about what's going to happen in the future. And the Lord gives to us a day. We can set all of that aside as much as we are able, and can hear what God has to say to us. Now, we do that in our homes too, in family worship. We hear what God has to say to us in His Word, and we need that. But we need as well the Word of God on the Lord's Day to set our minds and our hearts straight, and to set our minds and hearts on the things of the kingdom of God. What an important command this fourth commandment is. It's evident from the command itself. It's the longest of all the commandments. Not only that, but it's mentioned 11 times in the Pentateuch, in the first 5 books of the Bible. It's a command that is mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament. The people of Israel knew the importance of the fourth commandment, and we know the importance of it as well. And when it comes right down to it, the essence of the Sabbath is this. It's worship and rest, or rest and worship. Those two things. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. We may have lists of certain things we do and certain things we don't do, but that's not the main idea of the Sabbath. The Sabbath really comes down to this: rest and worship. And so that's what we consider this morning. That's my theme. I know I sent out an outline, it was on Friday, and I changed it a bit, and I just changed the theme. Rest and worship is the theme this morning. The 3 points are the same as what I sent out in the bulletin and in the outlines. The idea, the practice, and the hope. So rest and worship. We first want to understand the idea of that, and that means understanding especially the idea of rest. First of all, rest is the enjoyment of God's completed work. I'm going to give a fuller definition of that in a little bit, but we begin with that. Rest is the enjoyment of God's completed work. This rest is grounded in two things. It's grounded in creation, and it's grounded in redemption. Creation and redemption, that's evident in the commandment itself, especially, well, as it's found both in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. So we see that a proper understanding of the Sabbath begins not with the fourth commandment, but it begins by going back to Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, verse 3, we read, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." God blessed the Sabbath day, the seventh day, He set that day apart. It's interesting to note that the Sabbath didn't begin with the fourth commandment. It didn't begin on Mount Sinai. It began when God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh. And that's where part of the rhythm, the pattern of our lives comes from. And it's striking to see that. There's this rhythm of a week. There's the length of a day that comes from the Earth's rotation on its axis. Months are gauged by the lunar cycle. A year is the result of the Earth's revolution around the sun. But where did the week come from? Well, the week came directly from God in His work of creating all things. When He created on 6 days and rested the seventh. That's why there's a week of 7 days yet today. Now we see and understand that God rested. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that God was exhausted and tired from His work of creating on 6 days, and so He simply needed a break. Our God doesn't need a break. He's the God who never slumbers nor sleeps. But instead, the idea is that on that seventh day, God rejoiced in the goodness of His creation. We read that in Genesis 2, or Genesis 1, that He beheld all that He made, and it was very good. And so God rejoiced in what He had made. It was good because it served the purpose of God for what He had planned to do in the entirety of history. And so this fourth commandment is built upon that rest that God established when He created all things. And that's part of the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment comes to us and says, remember the Sabbath day. And in remembering the Sabbath day, remember what God did when He created and then He rested. The command itself references that. And so God wants us to remember that as well. Remember this rhythm of our lives. We work 6 days and we rest one day. That was built, made by God. So we see that first of all, rest and worship is built on God's work of creating. Secondly, the rest commanded in the fourth commandment is also grounded in redemption. That is what we saw that's what we heard as we read the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And that's where the fourth commandment, as it is found in Deuteronomy 5, is different from what we read in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20 refers to God's creating all things in 7 days. Deuteronomy 5 references something else. In verse 15, "And remember," again, notice the word remember, "and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was built on the work of God taking His people out of the slavery and the bondage of Egypt. And thus we see that the fourth commandment is built upon redemption. That's what redemption is, deliverance from bondage and deliverance from slavery. But not just that which took place in the land of Egypt, when God brought His people out through the Red Sea and by means of those 10 plagues. But that deliverance out of Egypt points ahead. It points ahead to Jesus Christ. And it points ahead to the cross. It points ahead to the redeeming work of our Savior. And thus the fourth commandment tells us that this command to rest and worship is built upon this. It's built upon the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. When we understand that, then we understand better what rest is. Rest is not simply the enjoyment of a completed work, but it's the result of that completed work. So rest for us as the people of God is the peace and joy of fellowship with God that is experienced in worship. I'll say it again. Rest is the peace and joy of fellowship with God that is experienced in worship. Think of those words of Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28, when He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What's the rest that He gives? Well, it's not a break. It's not a break from school. It's not a vacation. It's not a break from the kids. It's not a break from work. No, the rest that He promises us is peace and fellowship with God that is built on His finished work. And so we not only look back and remember God's work of creating and the rhythm and pattern that He established there, but we remember the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And so God has given to us a day where we may enjoy this rest. Yes, this is a rest we have every day, but there's a certain day that is set aside that we may enjoy this. And now, this morning, I'm somewhat taking that for granted. I'm not making a case for the first day of the week against the seventh day. I'm assuming that we, as the people of God, understand that now in the New Testament, it's the first day of the week that God has given to us that we might enjoy this rest in the special way of worshiping our God. And so we see coming together rest and worship. We experience this rest in worship with our God. Now the question for us today is this. As we consider what this rest is, why do we need it? Why do we need rest? Why do we need rest from our work and rest in worship? Well, is it not more evident or just as evident today as it has ever been that we need rest and worship? We live in a world right now that is living in fear and panic. We live in a world that is desiring and seeking calm and peace. They want something that's going to free them from that. And we live in a world that's looking for it in many different ways. But slowly the Lord is taking away, even from the world, the things where they might try to find their calm and peace and rest. So some are doing that in hoarding. Now, whatever they're hoarding, they might go to the grocery store or to Costco or Walmart or whatever it is, and they find it's not there, whether it's toilet paper or macaroni and cheese. Or if they're finding it in their work, now God is taking work away from many in the world today. We see and understand then that our rest cannot be found in the things of this world. Our rest cannot be found in trying to control our little worlds. But instead, we find our rest in Jesus Christ and in God. And this is a day that God has given to remind us that true rest is found only in Jesus Christ. You see, we need rest not only because of what's going on around us in this world, but because all of these things that are going on around us in the world point us to our great need. Our great need is not a vaccine that's going to deliver us from coronavirus. That doesn't mean that it's not a good thing. But that's not our greatest need. Our greatest need is deliverance from the guilt and the punishment of our sin. And there's only one way to be delivered from that. That's through the finished work of Jesus Christ. There's rest only in Him. That's what Jesus Himself told us. Go back to Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those who labor and are heavy laden, that's a reference to sin. Not just the difficulty of working in this world. It's hard. And the sufferings of this world, those are hard too. But that's a reference to our sin. And this is why we need rest. We need rest from the guilt and the punishment of our sin. We are sinners and we live in a world, though, that tries to find rest in what it does. And not only is that found in the world, that there are people who try to find rest in what they do, whether it's their job or they try to find it among the vices of this world, and they have addictions that they seek after to try to deliver them from the stresses and pressures of this life. But we also find in ourselves this great struggle, don't we, to try and find rest in a way that is different from what God says in His Word. And that especially comes out in the fourth commandment. So many have just a legalistic view of the Sabbath. And now we see why that's so wrong. And God exposes that in our day. And He does so in the way that I mentioned in the introduction to the sermon. That if you simply come to church on Sunday to look good in front of others, now what would motivate you to get online or to listen by phone? No one sees. No one knows. It takes more effort. It might take more work to do that in some ways. Because if that's our motivation, then we have a legalistic view of Sabbath, and that's a very shallow view of the Sabbath. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we do to get our acceptance before God or before people. No, we need the Sabbath because we need rest. We need rest. And we need rest for our souls. We're still struggling with sin in our daily lives. And we're still struggling with all that is going around us in this world. And so we need rest and worship to remind us that rest is found alone in Jesus Christ. And so the fourth commandment comes to us and says, remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And remember what God did when He created all things. And remember the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And remember that you can find rest only in Jesus Christ, and we find that in our worship. So rest and worship. One commentator said these are the twin engines of the Sabbath day. Rest and worship. So now understanding what rest is, it's the enjoyment of the finished work of Jesus Christ giving to us peace and fellowship with God. Let's understand the practice, how we rest in God and how we worship Him as well. Lord's Day 38 emphasizes that. It emphasizes the way in which we experience that rest. And it says there, call your attention to this, Lord's Day 38, that we diligently frequent the church of God. And then it says, to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. We diligently frequent the church of God. For us, that means gathering for worship twice on the Lord's Day. That's the normal way. We do it twice on the Lord's Day. Well, this is part of the reason why I thought it very fitting that I preach on the fourth commandment today. It's very fitting to preach on the fourth commandment because in some ways this has been taken away. Now, we can still do it to the degree that we're able, but gathering together as one body in one place is not something we are able to do right now. And that's difficult. It makes me sad. I'm thankful you can see me when you're online, but I cannot see you. And what a day it will be when we're all worshiping together again. But even though that's the case, we're reminded that we can and do keep this day holy. We can diligently frequent the church of God. We can diligently worship God twice on the Lord's Day. There are opportunities for us to do that. And even if we didn't have this means of the internet and live streaming or listening by telephone, there are other ways to do it. Family worship. I know on the Sunday that we canceled worship 2 weeks ago, that was what we did for one of our services. We had a family worship. We had a family Bible study at which we discussed the Word of God. We sang together. We prayed together. Did that for about, I think it was about an hour long. And we had an enjoyable time in worship of God. There are ways for us to worship God in our homes. And maybe one day, that's the way it'll have to be because of persecution. But we're reminded here that we are to diligently frequent the house of God. And the reason that we do that twice on the Lord's Day is because it's an entire day that is set apart. And in our day, we recognize that this is being lost. In churches that once held to worship services because they held that the entire day was to be a day set apart, that's not so common anymore. Sunday has become a day that is busy for so many others, even for many who confess to be Christians, just as busy as almost any other day. And so they have to prioritize things, and worship somewhat is getting squeezed out. Worship is something good and right for them to do, but if there is time for it, and other things have become king, maybe it's cottage in the summertime, or vacation time, and traveling back or traveling to vacation, so that one's back for work on Monday. Sports have become king, soccer games, and football games, and basketball games, or whatever else it might be. And so worship is viewed as a good thing if the weather's not too nice, if vacation doesn't interfere, if the football game is uninteresting, or if I'm not too tired. It's something just to fit in the schedule if it can fit, and to think, well, God then understands. We have to see and understand today, God understands. He understands what's going on in our hearts. He understands where He ranks then, if that is our view of the Sabbath day. And we don't want to lose that. In this time too, we can't gather together. We don't want to lose that. That we have the pattern of worshiping God regularly on the Lord's Day, and that we dedicate an entire day to the worship of Him. And God in His goodness has set apart an entire day for us to worship Him. And doing that twice on the day protects the day. So we must remember that the entire day is dedicated to the Lord. And think about that. An entire day dedicated to the Lord. We want it to be set apart so that we can rest and we can worship. It's not a day to catch up on sleep. Doesn't mean don't take a nap, but it's not a day to sleep the entire day away. It's not a day for traveling for vacation. It's not a day for sports and recreation. That doesn't mean you may exercise at all or stretch your legs, whatever it might be. But it's not a day for that. It's not a day for shopping. And again, that has to be said in our day because now shopping isn't done so much by going to the mall. The malls are closed down anyway for the most part. But we can still shop. Amazon's open. Craigslist is there. Facebook sales are there as well. You might think it's so easy, well, that deal might not be there tomorrow, and I better jump on it today. We're going to see that in a moment, that part of this is trusting in God in this. But we should see that this is a day for worship, a day for private worship, a day for family worship, and a day for church worship. All of that on this day. It's a day for reading good material. It's a day for drawing near to God. It's a day for thinking on spiritual things, not just getting our church time in. We have to see and understand that today. And Let us all think about that in our homes. How are we going to keep this day separate? Now, it's not just no homework, no schoolwork, dad not going into the work. But the difficulty we have is with these devices. And emails that come and texts that may come, and I'm not saying don't text or don't email, but there's the temptations there. Check on the sports scores and what's going on in the sporting world. Well, some of that's taken away too, but if that's our normal practice, then maybe we're going to keep going back to that. And a day to, or we might think reading up on coronavirus and all that, maybe this is a good day for us to put all of that aside. We don't need to track the cases of coronavirus in Michigan today. And to think on God and His Word and His truth and find rest in Him. How are we going to be purposeful in our homes in this day where you don't come here? And that takes up a big chunk of your Lord's Day. How are we going to be purposeful in keeping this day of rest in our homes? And part of the other thing now is we can't visit with each other, which we would normally do with families and so on as well. So let it be a day of worship for us to set good patterns so that this will carry over when life starts getting back to the old normal instead of the new normal. A part of this, this keeping the day diligently, is that we trust that God will give us rest. That's part of it. Keeping the fourth commandment means trusting in God. People of Israel faced that in the Old Testament. In Amos's day, God's people asked this question, when will the new moon be over so that we can sow grain and the Sabbath that we may sow wheat? You see, they couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over because they wanted to get back to business. That was on their minds, even through the Sabbath day. They were keeping it, and they wanted to keep it, but they really didn't want to. They wanted to get to their business. They viewed the Sabbath as something that restricted their business. And so also, we might easily look at it that way. And keeping the Sabbath day requires trust, especially in this day in which we live. It's becoming more and more of a 24/7. Businesses, factories, everything else open 24/7. And if you're going to make it in this world, you have to be willing to work on Sunday. And I know some of the men of the congregation have dealt with that more and more. Now, on the other hand, this doesn't mean for us that we need to institute all kinds of rules for the keeping of the Sabbath day. No, there's a trusting that when we rest and we do keep this command by diligently frequenting the church of God, that God will bless this and give to us what we need for body and for soul. That's true even for you students at school. The temptation might be to goof off on Friday night and Saturday, and then finish up homework, well, maybe Sunday night, not Sunday afternoon, but Sunday night after church. But remember again that Saturday's not our day of rest. Sunday is. We put our work aside then. And so we trust then that we work as hard as we can, even when exams come around. We work as hard as we can through the week, and then we trust that God will bless that, and I'm going to keep this day holy, set apart, because physically, mentally, and spiritually, I need this rest. And then in that way, we trust that God will give to us the rest that we need. There's an element of trust in this. But we see and understand this morning as well that we frequent the church of God because of what worship is. There are some in our day who have written, I've read some blogs in the past couple of weeks that have warned that maybe in the church there's a danger right now that with live streaming worship services like we are doing here today, that this is going to hurt worship going forward. That people will be simply content to worship from their homes. But I don't believe that's going to happen. We are called to assemble ourselves together. That's what we read this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. And we know that assembling together is not by computers, not by tablets, not by phones in our homes, although that's the way we're doing it today and for the foreseeable future until we can all meet together again. I think we should understand that danger. And it's very easy to think, well, with a cup of coffee and a more comfortable setting, we can worship better. Well, the other hand, there might be more distractions in doing it that way. We all know how that goes. We worshiped at home a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't on purpose or anything, but passing out some candy, and a candy roll gets thrown, and it lands in a coffee cup that's sitting right next to someone else who will remain nameless in our home. But those things easily distract us. Being at home is distracting. Other things that distract us here too. We might think about when the children are here and so on. Well, I think I'd put up with the noise of some children here with no problem than to have it like this. But I don't believe that our being separated this way is going to want us to keep doing that. In fact, I believe that what's going to happen is we're going to want to be together more and more. One man who I wrote or read this past week said, well, when I'm away from my wife and I can see her on FaceTime or I can give her a call when I'm away, that doesn't mean I don't want to return home. No, I want to return home because it's not the same thing. And so also that is true in our worship. But this is why we need this. This is why we need to diligently frequent the house of God. This is why we must not forsake the assembling together as we read in Hebrews chapter 10. Because first of all, we need to hear the Word of God. Rest comes from hearing the Word of God. Our calm comes from hearing the Word of God. In the end, that's why the elders made the decision they made to live stream worship. If nothing else, we need to hear the Word of Christ. We need to find peace and rest in Him, in His cross, and in His saving work. And it's important that we and our children hear that Word of God. Worship is not entertainment. Again, that's what's different about screens. Usually, we're using screens to entertain. Not today. We're using screens for worship. You're not a spectator at home, but you're worshiping through this means. So we need the Word of God. We need to pray. We need to sing. In these parts of worship as well, our souls find rest. We find rest in the words that we sing. We sing the words of rest to one another. That's part of singing. That's what's missed here. But we sing together in our homes and we sing to each other in our homes. That's why I said, let's even sing in our homes. We have a very small family, as it were, singing here in a very big building. You can do it at home because we need to sing. We find rest in this. And in prayer, we cast our burdens upon the Lord, knowing that He's able to carry them and He is able to sustain us. But also, we gather for worship to contribute to the causes of the kingdom. The causes of the kingdom. Again, we're not able to do that by a plate being passed. But there are means to do that, whether it's online or sending in your checks. And even as you do so, you can do so prayerfully and with a giving spirit and heart, giving thanks for what it is that God has given. How different that is from what the world seeks. The world seeks rest in hoarding. Beloved, let us not hoard today, but know and understand that rest is even found in giving. And trusting, even as we give, that the Lord will provide what we need. Remember that. Earlier we talked about that. Part of keeping the Sabbath day is trusting that God will supply. In our giving, we give. Giving the first fruits, as it were. Seeking first the kingdom of God, trusting that God will provide what we need for ourselves and the causes of His kingdom. But also we need this because we need fellowship with each other. That's the emphasis in Hebrews 10. We need this day and we need worship for fellowshipping with each other. And I pray that we would have a greater longing for that. That's what we find in verses 23 and 24 and 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. There's the faith element of this, for He is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Let's not forsake this. When the Executive order is lifted and we may come together. Let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need this. We need it. And we're reminded how much we need this fellowship with one another. But then let's use as a congregation the means that we have, telephone, video conferencing, and so on, to fellowship with each other. So we see the practice of keeping the Sabbath day holy and dedicated to the Lord in this way. But finally, we notice this morning that there is hope. And there is hope that is found, first of all, in the fact that this day of rest is related to all of the other days of the week. A legalistic view of the Sabbath separates. It separates Sunday from the other days and says that my Christian life is lived on this day in a particular way because I want to look good before others and maybe even earn something with God. But what happens with that kind of view is it separates this day from the other 6 days. It's striking that the Heidelberg Catechism doesn't do that. But it says that the fourth commandment is about everyday life. But now there are some who take that and say, well, that's why separating one day isn't important or necessary. But here's the reality. If we don't separate one, we won't have a separate life, a life separate from the world of wickedness and sin. We need this day to root us and ground us in the truth of God and in His commandments so that we live by those commandments in our lives every day. Keeping the Sabbath day keeps us, guards us from detaching Sunday from the rest of life. And so this is how we ought to view the Sabbath day then. This day should be at the very center of our lives. It should be the climax of our week. So that we work 6 days with this in mind, not only to provide for our families, but to provide for the causes of the kingdom. And so we work to give. Not only that, but then the other 6 days flow out of this first day. It's this day that strengthens me so I can go forward in the rest of the week, yielding myself to the service of God and turning away from evil works in my life. My question is that the way we view the Lord's Day? A climax, the peak of our week, the best day of our week. The Catechism is emphasizing that in the secondly, in Lord's Day 38. Secondly, that all the days of my life, I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me. The hope that we have, the trust that we have, is that in keeping this day as we're called to do, we will be strengthened to put off evil works and to yield ourselves to the Lord in our lives on a daily basis. It's striking, and it struck me again as I go through these commandments and the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism, that the first commandment, second commandment, third commandment, now the fourth commandment, although very specific in what they command, are all connected to everyday life. And this commandment is as well. So that if we're sinning in our lives during the week, we're disobeying the fourth commandment, which deals with the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. Let's understand and see this morning that rest is lived. Yes, we find rest in Jesus Christ. We don't find it in our works, but rest is lived in our lives in a life of turning away from evil works and yielding ourselves to the Lord, obeying Him. Rest is experienced in that way. And that tells us how grievous it is when we're yielding to sin and evil works in our lives instead of yielding to God. We're called this morning to live in this rest, not only on this day, but in all the days of our lives, because we have in mind that which is to come. And that which is to come is the eternal Sabbath. Heidelberg Catechism sets that before us. That's heaven. And then we'll know perfect peace and rest. No more guilt. No more sin. And certainly no punishment. No suffering. No coronavirus. No executive orders that keep us from assembling together. But perfect joy, perfect fellowship with our God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have that today in your living room, your kitchen, your favorite chair that you're sitting in today, wherever it might be. We have a taste of heaven. And one day when we're gathered all together here, it'll be a fuller taste of heaven. And then the day is coming when we will have the fullness of that joy. The taste is sweet, but now we desire more. And so our gathering for worship also is for the purpose of looking forward to that perfect rest of heaven. That's why we need this day. So that we're not focused on the here and now, but focused on the here and now in the light of the life which is to come. So we're thankful today that we have this day of rest. And we can keep it in the way that we do. Rest and worship. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for rest and we are thankful for worship. We pray for strength today that we may keep this day holy as thou hast called us to do, a day separate and a day devoted unto thee. We pray, Father, that especially in these times in which we live, that we may be diligent in hearing the word of God. We would be diligent in family worship. That we would be diligent in our lives in seeking thy face in prayer. And we thank thee, O God, for the means given of technology so that we can worship as we've done this morning. And we pray that it may go well so that we can do so again tonight. Continue to bless us, and we pray for the day when we may be gathered together. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.